Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Download a free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Elizabeth Bieniek, and she is a Fortune 100 leadership veteran and founder, named as one of the 10 most influential female pioneers in technology. Her unconventional leadership tactics have been featured in Forbes, Bloomberg, Inc. magazine, and the International Business Times, and form the basis of her new book, Cake, on Tuesday, 25 Lessons to Unlock Corporate Innovation. Elizabeth, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
Thank you, Josh. Really happy to be here. I love this topic because I think a lot of times just taking the time to reflect is so important. For me, I think the top thing would be protecting yourself, finding a way to protect yourself. And I could probably break that down in a couple different ways, of one being making sure you're scheduling in time to think, time to make sure that you are moving in the right direction. A lot of times we can focus really on optimizing our path, but not taking the time to pause and reflect, or like, are we going the right direction before we optimize for speed? And the second part of that is just being careful who you listen to. I think as you're setting up new goals, new dreams, new visions, especially if you're in the space of innovation, where I spent most of my career, anytime you're trying to do something new that's never been done before, nobody can lead where they've never been. So be careful who you have in your mentor cabinet and who you're listening to.
That last one really stuck with me for a minute because I came from a very humble family and, mountain folk, if you will, in the hills of Eastern Kentucky. And there were these little moments I remember from my childhood where I would see greatness, an athlete, a movie star, or, something on TV. And I would always kind of feel this pressure, this downward pressure from the family, like, no, we don't showboat. We don't push ourselves too far. No, we don't stand out. And their heart was in the right place. But that kept me where I was for probably 10 more years than I needed to be because I didn't want to disappoint my family. Be careful who you listen to because those voices become really loud and powerful.
I think you hit on the key element of that is it's usually not people who are trying to destroy you or take you down. Usually it's not coming from a place of being nefarious. Oftentimes it is the people that are nearest and dearest to us, and it's just a matter of they want to protect you. And it's usually from a place of love, but it might be from ignorance, their own hurt, any other number of things. So I think every time I've had a successful career outcome, there have been at least one voice, usually multiple, saying, that's not gonna work. You're gonna fail. Don't do that. Everybody else has failed doing that. Why would you do it? There's always somebody, and it's usually not from a point of again, trying to hurt you. It's just a matter of people aren't always at the same level of risk. They don't always want the same dream. So be mindful the person on the other side of your conversation might not have the same motivation as you. So you have to factor that in when you're weighing that input.
Yeah, just be careful what advice you allow in. And just to put an extra exclamation point on this, sometimes it's difficult for us to break through our own mental and emotional barriers when we keep surrounding ourselves with people that keep us there anyway. And that kind of leads to be careful who you listen to. And sometimes that means you have to change the people who are around you so that you have more options of who you might listen to. And sometimes those people don't agree with you. And I know that one of the things that you share is you got a lot of a lot of great contrarian points that you like to make. One of them is disagreement is the secret fuel of innovation. So I want to hear about why should we disagree more, and how does that push us forward?
Sure. I grew up in upstate New York, which is very New York. It's what you see is what you get. People are very straightforward in the way they communicate. But a lot of my corporate career was in San Jose, California. Very opposite approach. It was a bit of a culture shock, I think, going East Coast to West Coast on that and realizing messages were more likely couched. And let's say something positive, and then we'll maybe soft pedal around something negative, and then we'll end with something more positive. And it can be hard to communicate. It was hard for me to learn that new communication style. And my team in California, I really had to push on them and call out, look, if everybody's just going to agree with my idea, it's going to be as terrible as it started. I have an idea. It's usually never fully baked by the time I want to share it with somebody. I want that pushback. I want the back and forth. And think about how many times people are just uncomfortable pushing back to the boss or the leader, or this came tops down. And so, well, I guess it is what it is. But you end up having a team implementing an idea that they know is bad. They know it's going to fail. They know they could do better, but they're scared to push back. So I think as a leader, you need to invite that disagreement. But letting your team know and the people around you know, look, the point is we're all trying to make this idea better. We're not trying to play who's got the bigger brain here. We're not trying to shoot each other down, make each other feel bad. The point is make this idea better. So if I throw something out and you see an immediate glaring hole in there, I want to know because the end result is it's going to be a much better idea taking your perspective and my perspective. You do that times a team of 20. Your idea coming out of that, it's gone through the ringer. You can get a pretty solid idea. But if everybody's like, yeah, boss, that sounds good. That sounds good. Okay, let's move forward. Your idea is never going to improve. So really inviting that disagreement is what makes the difference, I think.
I fully disagree with everything you just said. That is the worst
It.
advice you would ever give to anyone.
It on.
And it's funny as you were talking about that. I know probably a lot of people have seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody about Queen. And there's this scene where Freddie Mercury is trying to kind of do his own thing, and he's like hiding under the sound booth because there's like 47 didgeridoos or something, and he was like, ah, nobody's telling me to stop doing this random crap, and that's really what made Queen Queen, because they all kind of disagreed and created this creative tension which allowed
Yeah.
them to create the great music. It's a really
It was
powerful
the
scene indeed.
collaboration. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
indeed. And so and another thing I wanted to ask about is, and this is something that I can agree with, despite the fact that I disagree with everything else that you've said so far.
That's
Something I can agree
good.
with is gather all of the advice you can, but most of it's worthless.
Yeah.
And I have my opinions on that, but I want you to set this up because I want to hear what is your perspective. Why do you say that?
Because every new idea, new input is going to spark something in you. This is also right now, I speak a lot on AI. I get questions a lot on AI. And like, for me personally, in my business, the best usage of AI is just a sounding board. It's coming back with, that was redundant, or hey, you could do this better. Or, and sometimes I strongly agree, and sometimes I strongly disagree. But having it come back to you, you will have a reaction. A lot of times you get a better sense of what do you actually believe or feel because you're reacting positively or negatively to the input that you're getting. So spread that across everybody you can. And you're getting people from different walks of life, different businesses, people who might have done something similar before, people who have done nothing at all closely related. And so they might have a really good perspective of, hey, you might lose your audience here. All of that feedback is useful, but filter it and it's going to help you. Again, it's like getting all those disagreeing opinions. You're going to ultimately get a stronger idea out of it.
Yeah, and a lot of times the most important thing I think you can extract from this is when you ask somebody for advice, you have to understand that that advice is not coming from the angle that you necessarily need it from. And it could be, or maybe you need a different angle. But a lot of times people just, they're able to only see the world through their own lens. And that could be a great
Absolutely.
thing for perspective. But I think it was said to me like when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
And I've certainly been guilty of that. I have my different products or businesses that I run, and like, oh, well, here's how my solution can solve your problem. And it's like
Yeah.
sometimes you got to just really shove it in there.
That's why we do focus groups and early field trials, and because you're getting that different perspective of, hey, this might be super clear to me and my team, and in our heads it makes total sense. But if you're presenting it at somebody else, they're like, based on my filtered lens and my experience, this is what I'm getting. That's a very different outcome. That's all useful. I mean, you ultimately have to decide what you're going to do with it, but it's all useful.
Yeah, indeed. And so tell us a little bit more about, well, what are you doing now? Who is a good person to connect with you, and how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, I'm really taking almost 2 decades of corporate experience and seeing how that can apply to helping small and medium-sized businesses innovate. I'm finding there's certain things that very much correlate from enterprise to small and medium business, and other things that are unique for small businesses, which is really fun to dive into and say, here's some of the tactics of what worked and what didn't in large corporate. Let's now filter that into what's going to work for your business. I'm really enjoying helping companies who especially have one major product line who are looking to branch into that next one and not lose their identity in who they were, but make a big enough leap that they can innovate to be around for the long haul.
Makes a lot of sense. And so what have you found have been like, what are the industries, or where is somebody in this kind of phase of development where you think is the inflection point that you can make the most impact?
Yeah, I do still find myself focusing largely on tech just because that is my background. The inflection point is usually somebody that knows they need to change, but they're scared to make that final, just put it into action. Because there's so much of you're running your own organization, you are just bogged down in the day-to-day. You've got everything to do to keep the lights on. Getting the ability to pause and take that step and say, all right, well, here's what I need to do to build for the future. A lot of times business leaders, if they're still the primary owner, they did that when they first started their company. And having to do it again now that they're running full speed is really, really scary. So usually when they're at that point where you get that sort of gut feeling of absolute dread, I know I need to innovate, I know I need to change, I just need help doing that. That's my ideal customer.
Excellent. And where can we go to learn more about what you do and connect?
You can find me on my website, elizabethbieniek.com. I post primarily on about AI on my LinkedIn profile, and I talk a lot about Cake on Tuesday and leadership lessons on my Instagram, which is at Cake on Tuesday.
Very good. We're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Elizabeth Bieniek, for coming on and joining us, sharing a little bit of wisdom about how she gets stuff done. You can learn more by going to her website, elizabethbieniek.com. And whether you're on your morning commute in the gym or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales, a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. That's it. Let's get to work.